Thank you very much. So before we get started, I would like to do a couple of introductions. So first, is my clicker going to work? Yep. First, I'd like to introduce Ashley. He's going to hate me for using this photo, but he is one of the software developers on one of our engineering teams, and he was heavily involved in the actual physical move of our SDKs into Kotlin multi-platform. He's kind of the brains behind this talk, and also was with the company for many years, has a lot of experience around the history of code share attempts and everything else. So I spent many hours kind of bugging him to get information for this talk, so definitely need to thank him for that. And then there's me. I was an Android developer for many years. I then moved into developer relations as an Android developer advocate, and last summer I turned to the dark side and became a manager, managing the client SDK DevRel team. You can find me over on Mastodon or anywhere else as Dev with Zachary, if you'd like to. So before we get started, a couple of takeaways for this talk. Unfortunately, not pizza, but hopefully I haven't made you too hungry. I want to start by saying this isn't a code talk. We've had a lot of really great code talks today. I've certainly enjoyed them. But instead, this is a kind of real-world example of an engineering team who have built a library in Kotlin multi-platform. And hopefully, with some good takeaways from that, you'll be able to learn from some of our pains in doing that. Have a look at the history of the SDKs, so hopefully that will give you a good idea of kind of some of the previous pains that we've had, and probably you share if you've done any code share in the past, and also the past code share attempts. Taking that, you should hopefully also see the success of where we are now. The main changes that we have found outside of just the physical code, what's actually changed about the engineering teams, what's changed about the structure of the SDKs, and kind of those more abstract things that have made a big difference moving into Kotlin multi-platform, and also where the SDKs are now. Plus a few extras, if we have time, for some surprise improvements that certainly on the team no one really considered until it happened. So before we get kind of into that part of the talk, I need to give you a little bit of background so you understand what the SDKs are that we've moved over. And they are the Vonage client SDKs. So what are those? Well, Vonage does a huge range of communication APIs, things like voice, video, SMS, and then services built on top of that, two-factor authentication, all those sorts of things. And we have a range of SDKs for a range of platforms. So when we say client SDKs, we mean specifically Android, iOS, and JavaScript. We also have what we'd call server-side SDKs, things like PHP, Python, and all those sorts of languages. Unfortunately, those aren't written in Kotlin. But all our SDKs really are just wrappers for the APIs. All our APIs are RESTful APIs. They use WebRTC for voice and video. You can just use the APIs if you want. All the open API specs are available. That's an easy thing to do, but one thing that a lot of people want to be able to do is use those APIs in a more native-friendly way. So if you're writing an Android application, you want to be able to use a nice Kotlin library to call those APIs, and you don't have to worry about the JSON that gets returned or the different authentication headers you have to use or, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that's kind of where I come in and our team comes in. Within the developer relations, we build those SDKs. So to us, developers are our world, and that's who we are thinking about. You know, we try and kind of smooth over some of those issues that might be existing in legacy APIs and all those sorts of things that we all know happen when it comes to APIs. So the SDKs are a better way to do that. And so if we're talking about that, with that in mind, it's time for a little bit of a history lesson. And a long time ago, in a tech company far, far away, there was a startup called Nexmo, which some of you may have heard of. It was a European startup that did communication APIs. I'm sure you can see where this is going. They had three native SDKs for Android, iOS and JavaScript. They were completely separate. There was no code share at all. And one of the biggest gripes was that this was really incredibly difficult to test for. If there was a new change in one of the APIs, all three SDKs had to support that, and you had to test three times. You had to do everything three times. Any new feature was built by three different people. So even if you had the perfect API spec, you had the perfect kind of design, there were always going to be kind of small things that each of the teams did differently for the respective platforms. And just purely from engineering power, it was three times the work to implement anything. So fast forward a few more years, Nexmo was bought by Vonage. Nexmo became the Vonage API platform. And this was the perfect opportunity for a rewrite. It was time to kind of take that opportunity and make something better that started to utilize CodeShare. And this was in about 2018, so this was a few years ago. And actually, the JavaScript team thought, there's this cool new thing that's just been released. It is alpha. It is very early. But let's give it a go. Let's have a look at Kotlin multi-platform. Very early stage. And the other issue was that the team really wanted to rebuild everything, the whole SDK in Kotlin and in Kotlin multi-platform, and leave no platform-specific code. This was their goal. It failed very quickly. A combination of their just the Kotlin multi-platform just not being where it needed to be to support a lot of the things that they wanted to be able to do across all three platforms, and just the inherent design idea of having everything in that proved it incredibly difficult to the point where it failed. But we still really wanted code share. We still wanted to at least reduce some of the effort that was involved in supporting these SDKs. And that's where C++ came in. And you can already see where the pain is coming from. It allowed for code share, which is fair. And it was also obviously a much more mature option in its way. And you could basically build a base level with platform-specific code written on top. It had kind of all the fundamentals of what you'd like to see from CodeShare. We also had some internal resource around this. So we had people that knew how to write C++, but not many of them. But this is where we went to. This is where it was implemented. We got CodeShare. It was great. Right? I mean, no. No, it was not great. It was actually kind of the opposite of good to the extreme. What we ended up with is kind of something like this diagram. And it doesn't take a mathematician to realize that instead of trying to reduce the amount of code that was across the platforms, and you know, we started with three SDKs, a JavaScript one, an Android, and iOS, and we wanted to reduce the amount of code there was, well, actually, we ended up increasing it by adding a fourth layer, which was the C++ layer. And it didn't actually really reduce much of the three other layers. So now instead of having three teams supporting an SDK, we had four teams supporting SDKs. It also really wasn't accessible to everyone. I don't know how many of you have had the pleasure of building in C++, but compared to things like Kotlin and JavaScript, it certainly miles apart. And a lot of those developers just didn't have the skill set to access that code and work on it. And that kind of meant that we were very dependent on specific people working in that kind of C++ code share. And therefore, if they were on holiday, well, we'd have to wait for a release. And it really sort of slowed down the release cadence, which when you're building a library is incredibly important. We want to be able to have reactive reactive SDK builds. So when there's a bug, we get a new release out. You know, when there's a new feature in the API, the SDK follows quickly. That was very difficult to do like this. So let's do a rewrite for the second time. But what were we going to do? Well, realistically, what we wanted is at least something much closer to this diagram. We wanted a decent chunk of the code base to be in the code share, And then the platform-specific stuff was kind of whatever, just needed to be platform-specific. Co-share, but better. We kind of came on the conclusion that really the best way to do that is keep all the business logic in the code share and leave the lower level platform stuff to the platforms. So that was kind of the rough idea of what we wanted to achieve. The next question was, what language could we achieve that with? Based on the skills that we had available internally and the kind of maturity of the options. So really we came up with three options within the team. The first being still C++. It was a valid suggestion to actually just rewrite that and use it for the business logic and it be still written in C++. So that was presented to the team, and actually kind of unanimously there was a very quick answer that they gave. No, please, no. It wasn't viable because the fact that there was still going to be that dependency on specific people, there wasn't the wider arching kind of support within the team. And also I think there was also maybe a bit of trauma around having to kind of support that previously that they just didn't want to do. So the second option actually was Rust. It was very powerful. I mean, for those that have used Rust, they know that and will quite happily say that. And it was also quite good for code share. We've had an example earlier today of how you could go about using Rust with Kotlin Moi platform, actually. But there were some issues that they started to highlight. There was at the time, the issue of kind of binding between the Rust layer and then the native code, which would still need to be there to some level. And within the team, the kind of tooling.